This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Morning. To allay your fears with our smaller crowd today, it's not that the rapture occurred and you didn't make the cut. We had a wonderful celebration last night of the completion of our vacation church camp, and the visual aids you have around the church give you just a flair of what that was like if you weren't a part of it. And our youth also have left for Canoga for their week retreat up there at that wonderful place, so we had almost 300 people here for our service last night. The theme of vacation church camp was fear not. It's a God thing that we have this gospel today. There is a wonderful artistic representation of this particular gospel that I have looked at for years and years. It's by Rembrandt, and if we can put up that first picture of it. And just to give a little bit closer, if we go up to the next one, that gives you a little bit closer view of that. As you can look at that picture of Rembrandt's representation of it, if you don't want to listen to me today, I'll give you something you can do. There is something very peculiar about this depiction of that scene, and I'll refer to it at the end of the sermon, but perhaps you can try to figure out what it is. Let me set a mental stage and a context for this story. In Mark's gospel, after the temptation in the desert, he has Jesus beginning his ministry. And he starts to preach in the synagogue. And the people remark, "This man is different. He teaches with authority." And he starts to show that power and authority very quickly. After he is in the synagogue, while he's still in the synagogue, there is a man who has an unclean spirit. And Jesus heals the man of that demon, and he shows that he has power over demons. He finishes in the synagogue, and he goes over to the house of Peter's mother-in-law, who is sick. He heals her. And he shows then that he has power over sickness. So many people come that night that he's up until the wee hours as they all come, and he's healing them throughout. We go to day two. Jesus gets up early in the morning and goes out to pray. By the end of day two, he has been healing so many people that Mark says he can no longer go out into the open anymore. He has to go out into the country, and people from all over are coming to him. Then he goes on and he shows that he has power over the Sabbath. Remember, the disciples are walking through the grain fields and they're hungry and it's a Sabbath, and so they start picking the grain, and the bad people say, "You can't do that, it's the Sabbath." And Jesus says those famous lines, "Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man." He shows he has power over the Sabbath and illustrates that again by going and healing somebody on the Sabbath. Again, power over sickness, over demons, over the Sabbath. And we start to get a picture of some amazing things. It doesn't stop there. Move to the next day. Here is Jesus back home in Capernaum. And these people have this friend who's sick, paralyzed. They can't get in to see Jesus, so they cut a hole in the roof and they lower the man down. You remember the story. And what does Jesus do? He says first, when he saw their faith, "Your sins are forgiven." Whoa. He has power over sin as well? And then he goes, and to show that he does, he heals the man from his paralysis. "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Now that's all the background. Now these disciples, now they're going to have their test. He wants them to sort of think about, did you get all of this that I just did these past couple days? let's go over to the other side. And so they get in the boat, and there they go. And a storm comes up. And immediately they forget everything that had just happened for the last 3 days. And they are in a panic. They are in, as the psalm said today, at their wit's end. Did you relate to that? I sure did. And they forget everything in their experience of Jesus just like that, and they're a mess. Jesus wakes up, he calms everything, and everything is okay. What do we learn from this? We learn an awful lot. Now, I normally don't give you homework in my sermons, but I'm going to give you some homework this week. This particular passage is a classic passage that is used in what is called scriptural visualization or imaging with scripture. It's an old Ignatian text from the scriptures that is used for us to understand our spiritual life. And this is what I'm going to challenge you to do this week. Take home your bulletin or just get this passage and read it out of your Bible this week. If you're with a partner, a friend, or a spouse, have yourselves read it to each other. The one reading while the other has your eyes closed. And the idea is, imagine this scripture. And imagine that you are there. And the whole trick to this is, where do I find myself in this particular passage, in this particular scene? And based on where you might be right now in your spiritual life, where we end up in that scene gives us an incredible insight into our spiritual lives. Sometimes I find myself, I'm not even in the boat. I'm drowning in the water. Sometimes I find that I am the boat itself, which this really is a big image of. It's all about Jesus being within us. Sometimes I find that I'm one of those doubting apostles, scared to death. Sometimes I'm just a bystander, just looking at the scene and just sort of observing. Where are you? I want to share with you one place where we sometimes are. Sometimes I find myself trying to row the boat. And sometimes I find myself sitting in that boat and I'm rowing it, but I'm trying to row it looking forward and making the boat move forward. And it doesn't work very well. But when I'm able to turn myself around and row that boat looking backward but going forward, I make a lot more progress. I would like to put out today that this is what we need to do, to not have fear, to not be afraid. If those apostles had been able to row forward but look backward, they would have remembered everything that Jesus had done these last 3 days. And they would have known that Jesus, he's going to come through, it's just that we don't know when. They see the water level rising in that boat, and they're waiting. Come on, Jesus, 6 inches up, 6 inches more. When are you going to wake up and do this? But they forgot. And how often in my life do I do the same thing? How often do I forget that Jesus is in the boat? And if I would reflect more and understand and remember how all the times in my life, no matter what, Jesus showed up just in time. When I had done everything I possibly could, and I just didn't think things were going to work out, maybe not in the way that I would have desired, but what I needed, Jesus shows up. So we need to be in touch with our spiritual history. Not only in terms of the Bible and what Jesus is doing here, but our personal lives. You wouldn't be in here this morning if somewhere along the line you had not had some experience of Jesus in your life that has kept you going. So, are we in touch with those things? such awareness that it enables us to keep going on. Because the time will come for all of us that that is the only thing that will keep us going. The storms come up unexpectedly when we least expect. We lose a job. A friend betrays us. A loved one dies. Everything that we thought starts to change unexpectedly. And if we are able to look back as we go forward and see he's been faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful always. And that enables us to keep going because Jesus shows up just in time. Let me read a little passage I ran across that I think just makes it pretty profound. Herbert McCabe, don't know him, but this is what he writes. The essence of this gospel is that if you don't love, you're dead. And if you do, they'll kill you. If you want a quiet life, a life of peace and contentment, then don't follow Jesus. If you want a secure life, a life lived within the margins of safety, then don't follow Jesus. If you want a life that is all mapped out, a life you can plan and control, then don't follow Jesus. Faith isn't harbor hugging. Faith is bungee jumping. The more risks we take, the more likely we are to survive and thrive. From a faith perspective, life's ultimate risk is not to risk anything, because Jesus always shows up. Not too early, not too late, but just in time. Have you noticed anything peculiar about that painting? There's no oars and the sail is up. Should be going backwards. There's only 11 disciples, actually, and I apologize, we tried to clear it up as best we could. There's 14 people in that boat. There's 12 disciples. There's Jesus. His point is that the 14th person in the boat is us. Rembrandt puts himself in that painting. Rick, if we can show the little close-up there. You can notice at the bottom of the screen there, to the left and at the foot of Jesus, there is a disciple who is there praying with his hands folded, dressed in brown. And then there is one particular holding on to the rope and looking forward, which is the artist looking out at us. We are in that boat. Jesus is in the boat as well. As we remember what he has done for us, may we continue to row forward, looking backward, knowing that he doesn't show up too early, he doesn't show up too late. He shows up just in time. And as in your bulletin, I offer this prayer for Father's Day. Heavenly Father, you entrusted your Son Jesus to the care of our patron Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. Bless all fathers as they care for their families. Give them strength and wisdom, tenderness and patience. Support them in the work they have to do, protecting those who look to them as we look to you for love and salvation. For those whose fathers have increased the joy in their lives, we give you thanks. For those whose Father's presence is greatly missed, may we take time to gratefully recall all they have given to us, providing for us in our growing. For those who have recently lost their fathers or who are facing the imminent loss of their own fathers, may they find comfort in their grief, hope in their despair, courage in the love that their fathers have given them. We give thanks, God, for these good men who sustain and support us in our living, who love us no matter what. What a blessing they are to all who know them. We give thanks to you, O God, for all those whose gift for fatherhood is so strong that they have allowed their caring to spill over into the lives of others, providing the guidance and stability, the nurture and the love needed. We pray too, compassionate God, for those whose father has been a source of hurt and pain, for all those for whom one or more members of their family has caused them to suffer. May their wounds be healed. May they find in you, in us, in others, the nurturing, sustaining, fatherly love that is needed for their growth and well-being. We recall with sadness fathers who are separated from their children through life choices made by them or others. Give them the insight and wisdom, the courage and perseverance to parent in whatever creative and life-giving ways are open to them. Give them the courage to make the decisions which allow their children to prevail. We remember to you single fathers and mothers who struggle to be both parents to their children, to provide all the emotional, physical, and spiritual needs without the constant support of a spouse. May they find the strength, the courage, and wisdom for their task. And we pray for those fathers whose relationships with their children have been difficult or disappointing. We pray, too, for those who have been denied a chance to be fathers, and for those whose years of parenting have been cut short by the loss of a child. We turn to you, most holy God, knowing and trusting that you can console where consolation seems impossible. May they receive comfort for their soul and peace and hope for living, so that their gifts may not be denied to others. Finally, we rejoice with you, O God, at the many fine men who, in spite of confusing roles in a rapidly changing society, have taken their place as fathers with open hearts, with willingness and joy. And we join all fathers everywhere in praying that their children may be well and happy, a source of joy for years to come. Hear our prayers this day, O God, and give to us such assurance of your love that your love may spill forth from us into the lives of others. Bless our fathers, O God, and bless all of us today and always. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.